Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Kelly. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of the sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord and our soon-coming King. We are excited to be here one more day, this day that we have never seen before, and this day that we will never see again. We are excited because the Lord has blessed us to breathe, to talk, to see, to hear, to walk, to touch. We are excited. This morning we want to lift up Prophetess Apostle Millie Jefferson and her sister, her daughter, and Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington, Brother Deacon Fraser, and Evangelist Campbell, and Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Tina, and Prophetess Jackie, and Prophetess Misha, all those that are part of Blog Talk Radio family, of Apostle Stewart and Pastor George Stewart. We thank God for them. And we just ask God to just bless the airwaves this morning. We pray that this morning God will move as never before. He's always moving, but we pray to God that we'll be able to move with him, that we'll not try to move ahead of him, that he'll lead us and guide us into all truth. Father God, we pray that you continue to touch Apostle Millie's sister. Lord, we need a miracle. Even as I was praying in the bathroom this morning for her, Lord, I just see you doing a miracle, Lord. And I hear her singing out in the spirit for her healing, oh God. I pray this morning, God, that you touch her body. Lord, let not the enemy rejoice over her crossing over. But Lord, let the angels in heaven rejoice that she is here in the land of the living, praising you and glorifying you. We pray this morning that you, oh God, will show up in her room, oh God, and Lord, take charge over her body. Lord, that you rebuke the sickness, oh God, from her body. Oh God, cause her blood pressure to submit to your voice, to your presence, oh God, in this day, Lord. We ask for strength in Bishop James' body, strength in my body, strength in Apostle Linda's body, and strength, oh God, in Apostle Millie's body, oh God. We ask that you heal her lungs, oh God. Heal her brain, her kidneys, her liver, everything that needs to be touched. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you give her mind, oh God, to just live for you and not let anyone take her out of the zone, oh God. We pray this morning, oh God, that you would touch this word as we go into the word at some point in time, and that you would elevate this word to a higher standard, oh God, that men and women would see the word, not just hear the word and be the word. In Jesus' holy name, let's go into worship, and then we'll come back and give you part two of the message that we did on yesterday. God is doing a great work. I got some work to do tomorrow. I got to get this woman's furnaces finished that I started a couple months ago. We got to finish them before the weather change. Now we got more work to do. We have to bless some people all over the world. We need money to bless them. It's good to bless people with the word, but you also got to bless them with monetary so they can buy food and buy clothes and have shelter. That's what the Lord gives us. So let us just go into worship right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes.
You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great.
Fill this room with thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. I need somebody to help me say this to him. Say hallelujah, you have won the victory. That's why you can't be defeated. That's why you can't be stopped, because of this truth.
You have won your soul.
your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of the sea. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your name I come alive to declare your victory. Come on, say, the resurrected King is resurrecting. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of the sea. The resurrecting
King. What are you doing this morning?
Is resurrecting.
By your name.
By your name I come alive.
I come out today. Every dead thing. You got to come out of the land. It's gonna live again.
It's gonna live again. It's gonna live again. It's gonna live again. It's gonna live again. Sis, it's gonna live again. My brother over here in the back who's ready to give up. It's gonna live again. You in the balcony. You got here late because you had to fight, but I come to prophesy and tell you that it's gonna live again. I am the resurrection, truth, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet there is evidence that it ain't living. The enemy wants you to focus on the evidence, but it ain't about what you can see. It's about what you can't see, because what you can see is temporary, but what you can't see is eternal. Oh, check it out now, y'all. God, I give you glory. God, I give you the praise. So lift those hands, Father. God, I thank you that you are taking our spiritual caskets right now, that you are disrupting spiritual funerals right now, and that everything in this room that the devil told them that was dead and it was never going to live again, and that this idea would never work, and that this marriage was over, and that this disease in their body was going to overtake them. God, I thank you for interrupting this service and letting resurrection power hit this room. And God, I pray for faith to rise right now, that there are people with their hands lifted and they have tears in their eyes, and they're struggling in this moment because they have proof that the thing is dead. But God, the proof is just there to make the devil look stupid. Because you take the foolish things that confound the wise, God. You're going to take this dead thing and you're going to resurrect it so big that everybody around them, that's why you needed the proof. The proof wasn't for you. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The proof was for everybody else that was looking. For everybody else that said, yep, that's dead. Yep, that's dead. Yep, that's dead. But God is getting ready to resurrect that thing in the presence of your enemies. And Father, we just thank you now. We thank you now. I speak that they would take that idea off the shelf and dust it off. I thank you, God, that thing that they prayed for and gave up on, they'll take it off the shelf. I thank you, God, that disease that the doctors gave them 6 months to live, God, they will declare that resurrection power has now hit my body. And by the time they get their next report, I thank you that the proof will be proven wrong again. And God, I thank you that this is just a start, that there's a word that's getting ready to hit this room. And I thank you that it's coming with power and demonstration. Kingdom of God come today. Will of God be done today as it is in heaven. Ain't no cancer in heaven. Ain't no low self-esteem in heaven. Ain't no diseases in heaven. As it is in heaven, let it be in Greenville, South Carolina. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you believe resurrection has hit your house,
doesn't matter where you are. And I don't mean in this room. I mean in your heart. I mean in your mind. I mean in your situation. I mean in your station in life right now. It doesn't matter where you are. You can pick me up. You're not so far that you're outside of his reach. He can reach to you and get you. You would just lift your hands, even as a little child, lift their hands to their father. The said, up, there you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. even for the most hardened heart, for the most religious mindset. He can catch you off guard. He can catch you by surprise and speak to you and reach you right where you are when you least expect it. Doesn't have to be business as usual. We want an experience. We need an encounter. We need you. Come on, open up your mouth and just begin to cry out for him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up. like no other. In the fullness,
Hallelujah. His unfailing love, higher than mountains and deeper than oceans, wider than oceans, reaches to me. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. This morning, we are so grateful that he has allowed us to enter in one more time. Ah, shakara bababa. You know, so many was here on yesterday. They were walking around, driving around, they even flew around, even went on a trip, on a boat ride, train ride, but they're not here today. But we are praising God and glorifying God because we are still here in the land of the living. And that is enough to give him glory. That is enough to give him praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For he has granted us one more. Thank you so much, Apostle. He has granted us one more opportunity to get right what we didn't get right on yesterday. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you. We just glorify your name. And Father, we just honor you right now with all that we have said, all that we are saying and all that we will say. We ask, Father God, that you would touch our eyes, our ears, and our lips of clay. And Father, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. We ask, O God, that you continue to impregnate us with your word, O God, by your spirit, O God, that you continue to order our steps in your word, by your word. And Father, we pray this day, God, that you would forgive us of any thoughts, any words, any action that we may have committed, known or not known, O Lord, that we might be able to enter in, O God, and come and sit at your feet, O God, this morning. We ask, O God, that you bless every hearer, near and far, north, south, east, and west. And God, as we heard a word this morning, I heard a word this morning for Apostle Millie's sister that just blessed me. I was listening to Todd Galbert, and he was singing the anthem. And I tell you, it just came up in my spirit so strong. And he was talking about that resurrected life. And he was talking about that angel of death that thought he could take your life. My God, he has been defeated. Jesus, I just heard that was from Millie's sister. Oh, bless the name of Lord Jesus. I just heard, I was shouting in the house. Hallelujah, but thank God, it's on the tape. But thank God for this word that we're about to release in the atmosphere this morning, talking about what when unbelief joins hands with evil, part two. And we want to hit one scripture here, and then we're going to travel on back. We talked about it in Hosea chapter 4 yesterday, and what a blessed word the Lord has shown us out of my study Bible. And here in the King James regular Bible, he talks so clearly to us. God does not make mistakes. You know, a lot of time people think they can move ahead of God because they think they're smarter than God. But when God said something, he signs his name to it. That means it doesn't matter what it look like to you or don't look like to you, it's still what God says. Do you hear what I say? It doesn't matter what it look like to you or to me or to the people. But it's still what God say. You know, folk today are trying to change the word of God to meet their understanding or their belief or whatever they want to say. But I tell you, you can't change what God's word. Because he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says here my word is Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. This is what it says. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known God. He began to say here, the prophet said that they will not turn from their deeds, from what they're doing, to serve their God. Why? Because they are loving all that they're doing. Hallelujah. How many of you know that folk can say, well, I'm going to Carnival, I'm going to Mardi Gras, and I'm going to shake my stuff, I'm going to the nightclub, because I ain't been there for 6 years. I haven't been having a good time. You know, I haven't been able to enjoy myself because I've been going to the church building all the time, and it's time for me to let my hair down. Do you know that's what the people say? They say, it's time for me to let my hair down. In other words, it's time for me to serve the devil all over again. That's what they say. But they don't know that's what they say. It's time for me to serve the devil all over again. Because they believe that they're not having a good time in God. Well, I got news for you. Even when my body don't feel right, I'm still having a good time in God. I'm having a good time in God because I have a surety. I have a surety in him that if I cross over from this world, I'm going to be with him. Because he said that in his word. He said to me, absent from the body, simply present with the Lord. So even when my body don't feel right, I'm still having a good time because I have a great expectation. I have a great hope. Glory to God. Hosea said, let's go back to verse 1. Since you are questioning this word, let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 5. He said, hear this, O priest, and hearken, you house of Israel, and give you ear, O house of the king, for judgment is towards you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon the Tabor. Now the people is hindering the people, these priests and the king, you know them, is hindering the people of God from coming to the celebration, to sacrifice to God, to honor God. So he said that judgment is coming. It's on its way. You know, when we get in the house of the Lord or the house of man, and we decide we're going to preach what we want to preach and not what God wants us to preach, we don't want to preach against sin. We are setting snares for the people. We are hindering them from praising God, from honoring God, from living for God, and judgment will come to us. to all those that refuse to preach the truth. Listen to what Jose said. This is so powerful. He said, and the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. Even though the prophet is rebuking them by the word of God, they're still killing one another. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're still killing each other. Glory to God. Because you have a true prophet that's speaking the truth, and folk decided don't want to hear him. This is why they're running to these churches and these synagogues and these mosques, that the people are itching, are speaking a word to itch their ears, because they have itchy ears, like Paul says. They want to hear something that tickles their fancy, as you may say. They want to hear a word that tickles their fancy, not a word that is going to convict them to how the life they're living. They said, well, who make you ruler over us? Remember, the people say that to Moses. Who make you ruler over us? Hallelujah. Because any time that you decide to preach the truth and tell the truth, they're going to say, who make you ruler? Because they don't want the truth. They want you to speak a word that's agreement with their living. Do you hear what I'm saying? In agreement with their lifestyle. But the moment that you begin to honor what God is speaking to your spirit, man, they don't want to hear you. And you got to continue. We got to continue preaching the truth, even if they come or don't come. It doesn't matter. God has a people out there in this land, all over the world, that is hungry and thirsty for righteousness. That's why we do what we do on Blog Talk Radio. And when we get the church buildings, we are going to still do the same thing, if they come or don't come. Because God is going to bring... Listen, he is going to bring who he wants to receive the word. Because the Bible says no one can come to him except he draw them. So what we got to do is we got to be on one accord, preaching the same thing, doing the same thing. Hallelujah, loving the same God. And when we do that, God going to draw the people that he wants to draw. There's some people that are hungry. They're not getting what they need. And they're looking for a place where they can go and really hear the truth. And once you set up the temple building, with the truth, God going to bring the people. The first thing that we have to do is that we got to start with ourselves. We got to start living the truth. We can't wait till we get in the building. We can't wait till we get the buildings. We can't wait till we get the house, till we get the car, to live the truth. We have to live the truth. That's why we stay on this thing. Because folk are pointing at us. Apostle Watson said, yeah, there we was in Slidell, New Orleans, Louisiana, as he said that. People are watching us. People are watching us. You may not see them, but they're watching you. They're watching me. Because we are preaching holiness. So they're watching to see if they're really just saying holiness. Are they just talking holy? And then if you ever make a mistake, they will pull you all the way down the gutter. That's why you got to continue to ask God to strengthen us. We got to pray this. Lord, strengthen me, because the devil is sitting around. He's standing by, waiting to sift us like wheat, just like Peter. He wants to sift us. Why? Because we're walking with the master. When you are walking with the master, Satan's going to watch you. He's going to set up agents to follow you everywhere you go. You can't see him. They're watching you.
Glory to God.
Listen to what he says. My God, let me say. He said, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me for now. O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Did you see what God said? God sits high and sees low. These bishops and these apostles and these evangelists and pastors and teachers that's supposed to be the fivefold ministry, and all they got is the type of gift, but they're not living the gift, because remember, the fivefold ministry is a gift. God gives them to the body to help the body to live. Hallelujah, to grow and to rebuke the body. Hallelujah. But what happened is that instead of that, edifying the body and helping the body to elevate in the kingdom, they are giving prostituting the body. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. They're prostituting the bodies of what they can get of the body and not giving them the truth of God's word. So here he said to them, Lord Jesus, Lord, I know this is hot. Look. It just jumped from Jose to Ezekiel. Let's go back here to Jose. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says, verse 4 says, there will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. They have no respect for the Lord. They will not change what they're doing. They're not honoring him any longer because they're doing their own thing. Now here in Hosea chapter 4, go back to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12. Listen to what he says. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declares unto them, for the spirit of whoredom have caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They leave God. They depart from God. They depart from honoring God. This is what the people, Israel, Jerusalem did. Because remember, he said Judah had not committed whoredom, but Jerusalem did. And he told Judah not to conform to the ways of Jerusalem. So we have people that are supposed to be part of the kingdom, but they're not living a kingdom lifestyle. And it's in the book here. It's in the book here. Undoubtedly, the fault of Israel's behavior is what Paul concludes in Hebrews chapter 3 and 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, this thing happens in the heart. This unbelief starts in the heart, not in the head, in the heart. And it causes us to depart from God. What happens is that we get so caught up in self that we think that we have no need for God anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Israel, despite the fact that God voluntarily revealed much about himself to her, simply does not believe what he says. Can you know that folk can go to the house of the Lord and hearing God speak to the prophet, to the apostle, to the pastor, to the evangelist, to the teacher, and yet not believe? Because why you saying, apostle? Why not yet not believe? Because they have a one mindset, and that is to please their own flesh. So they don't believe the spirit of the word. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So they don't believe the spirit of the word. Hallelujah. So they end up doing what they want to do. Glory to God. Glory to God. He says the fruit of unbelief is betrayal, expressed as departing from the relationship. Now, when we believe, when we develop the spirit of unbelief, we depart from God. Because you hear people say, well, I'm not going to the church anymore. Well, the church is you. We are the church. So what we are really saying to God or to the people is that we're not going to fellowship with each other anymore. Not the building. People think it's the building. It's not the building. But we don't want to fellowship with each other anymore. And if we can't fellowship with each other here on earth, how do you think we're going to praise him in heaven together? We're going to start fellowshipping here together. Because there's only going to be one church in heaven. Only one church. Not all these denominations are going to be in church. Only one church. Brother Brown Church is not going to be there. Brother Peter Church is not going to be there. It's going to be God's church that's going to be in heaven. Only one. The seven that he spoke about in the book of Revelation is only going to be one church. That was just a metaphor for us to see what all these different churches are denominations are doing, claiming that they're serving him, but they're all jacked up because they have not totally committed or submitted to him, Bishop James says. They have not totally committed or submitted to him. So they develop the spirit of unbelief, as Paul is saying and as Hosea is saying, in their hearts, and they're departed from him. To begin, we need to explore one particular step in the process of sin beyond the evil heart of unbelief. Now, when this unbelief comes into our hearts, it develops sin. Hallelujah. Because unbelief, on the other end, other side of unbelief, is hatred. Do you know that? And what is hatred? hatred is sin. Hallelujah. In addition, we need to understand that our subject is not woman or women who have been forced by their culture into prostitution. This is what Hosea is talking about in chapter 4 and chapter 5. No, 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 no. Such a circumstance is far more understandable. Women trapped in such a situation are truly victims and illicit or pity. We will be exploring those women who were free to pursue other courses in life, yet deliberately chose to prostitute themselves, whether in service at a pagan temple as part of the worship of a god or in making a living. Israel deliberately chose to prostitute herself. Israel turned away from God and began to serve other gods. Some of wood, some of stone, some of clay, some made from dirt. And God was not pleased that they were worshiping other entities. In the book of Revelation, it said they worship gods that can't walk, can't talk, can't touch, don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. A prostitute is a person, usually a woman, who provides sexual activities in exchange for material security. Dictionaries also define prostitution as debasing oneself for personal gain, and this usage applies to other genders. Additionally, it is a misuse of one's gift, talent, or skills, and this too applies to either gender, man or female, male or female. So because of these uses, in its broadest sense, prostitution is not confined either to sexual activities or to women alone. The selling of sex by a woman is only its best known form. A prostitute is anybody who, as we would say today, sells himself or herself out or makes compromises for personal gain. The gain does not have to be in the form of money. However, biblically, its descriptions and examples are confined to the illicit sexual activities of women because of Israel being symbolized as a woman. A female prostitute is generally distinguished from an adulterer due to her lack of discrimination in choosing her partner. This lack of discrimination is important because it reveals a mindset and attitude. That approach is what we today might call an earhead. One who seriously ignores the harsh realities of sin. The attitude also expresses a stubborn addiction to gambling on sin's outcome. The prostitute usually justifies the sin because of her immediate needs. All sin follows a pattern. The actual act is the next to the last step in process that once it starts, often does not take a great deal of time to complete. James, let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. St. James chapter 1. This is, we're talking about when unbelief joins hands with evil. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. The 15, I think. James chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You can say every man or woman. See, because when the Bible talks about man, he's really referring to man and woman, because woman came out of man. So sometimes you have to say, when they're talking about men, they're not talking about women. Well, no, there's no escape for no woman in there, okay? When a woman is drawn away, she's drawn away by her lust too, in text. He says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We find that in Romans 6:23. So we must take that. It feels so good to us. You know, it feels so good. We don't want it to end. But sin is not going to continue trying to take your life. It's not going to stop, not continue. It's not going to stop, trying to get your life. Sin desire is to kill you. The Bible says the thief come not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. It's the thief wants to take everything from you trying to destroy. Then he destroy your life. Then he gets your soul. But sin sometimes feels so good. It feels so good to you. It tastes so good that we don't want it to end. We continue doing it over and over and over, habitual sinning, iniquity. We are doing it over and over and over because it feels good. One day, sin says, I have given you enough rope. Let me draw back now. So what sin does? Sin start drawing for your soul, for our soul. It wants our soul. Sin will let you, sin will let us enjoy it enough till it get our soul. You see all these folk are going on, and they say, well, I want to speak words from the altar, and people will be falling over, and people will be blind eyes to be open to deaf ears, and I don't mind giving my soul to the devil. And when they give their soul to the devil and commit and sign all the papers that they got to sign to the devil, and they start working signs and wonders happening by their preaching and teaching, and they feel they're getting off scot-free, and they're testifying, and some of them would even call the Lord's name, you know, but they know that they operate on a satanic power. They're moving on the satanic. I've experienced it in Africa. They are working on the satanic power. And then one day, Satan will come on by in his spirit form. And they can hear him clearly. They can, some of them can almost see him. And Satan will come by and say, no, you have run a long run. You had a good play. Enjoy yourself with your Bentley, with your Lamborghini, with your Ferrari. Well, are we Rolls Royce in all your homes? Well, no, I want your soul. And these preachers, they will cry. And you wonder why they're crying and stuff. They don't want to give up that soul. Because they thought they were going to go scot-free all the time. Fooling God's people. Deceiving God's people. And Satan let them go for such a time. And a lot of these people die young. They're young men. They die 40, 50 years old. Satan come and take in their prime of ministry, prime of life. Satan come and take their soul because their soul to Satan so they can get up on an altar and tell lies. And tell lies, not trusting God. God don't need you to have them. All he needs you to do is open your mouth and let him do the work. That's all God needs. He needs a body to open the mouth. Satan needs a body to lie. But God needs a body to tell the truth. We can't trust God enough to say, okay, God, you're going to work out the miracles for me. You're going to do the things for me, Lord. You can't trust him enough. We want to go to the devil, go down to the Illuminati. We want to go down to the water and see the Kundalini spirit. We want to do all of these things that are contributing to God's action. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? And God is saying, look, son, if you just trust me, daughter, if you just trust me, I will use you to glorify my name. They don't want to wait.
My God.
They don't want to wait. James told us plainly that when we are drawn away, we are drawn away by our own lust and enticed. The things that tickle your fancy, that make you think that you're all that in a bag of chips, somebody come and tell you something in your ear, Oh, girl, you look so fine. You smell so good. Man, look at your six-pack. It's summertime. You got your shirt off and your abdominal muscle. I don't have that. No, mine is gone somewhere. I don't know where they go. I used to have them when I was in the gym. I used to go. I was a weightlifter in the club and everything back in the country. I had nice biceps and triceps and deltoids and all that. All them muscles that I used to be showing. They ain't showing now. There's somewhere underneath a little bit of fat that I got. But I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. You know, I don't have to do nothing to impress nobody. But, you know, they'll tell you that stuff. And they'll tell you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, not God. Not God, of his own lust. His own lust and intent. See? We're looking on the stuff too long. You can't even go in a room with two men without you feeling that you want to go to bed with them. You can't go in a room with two women unless you feel you want to have intercourse with them. Why? Because you've got a lustful mindset. You don't have a godly mindset. That's your problem. See, when unbelief joins hand with evil, we don't believe to trust God enough for you to fall and stay in love with your husband, stay in love with your wife, and be content, no? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. See? Just checking out, watching them. I'm in the sanctuary, the pastor preaching. Excuse me, the pastor preaching, but I'm my eyes are on her. Look at her legs, so silky. The lotion on her legs, and I could smell her perfume. You know how the devil works. Hallelujah. And we're not even listening to the word of God. We're watching him. He looks good. His suit fitting and fine. Look at his hair. Nice. Low cut, nice trim. And we are paying more attention to all of this stuff that's now causing us to lust. Causing us to lust that we write in God's house. Here simply stated is the process of sin. Four points I want to give you here. The process of sin in the book of James. Temptation triggers desire. You can write this down. This is right here in the book of James, where we are looking on James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. He says, temptation triggers desires. Number two, desire stirs the yearning of gratification. In other words, once I get that desire and I get that feeling in my body, I want to be gratified. And failure, number three, failure to consider the end and to discipline oneself prompts the sinful act. Now, once we start to feel that, we don't cast it down. The thoughts are in our mind to sin, to commit this sinful act. Because now the body is feeling some things. According to James, the body is feeling some things. And now we want this feeling to be suffice, to be taken care of. So what we do now, we go by and we whisper something sweet in his ear or her ear, or we pass a note to him or to her, because we want them to know how we're feeling. And the devil is so slick that he has put the same feeling in her or in him. Because he now said, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that this young woman was really checking me out. I didn't know that this young man was checking me out. All this stuff is going on. And we don't cast it down. So fair to consider the end. The end is death. The end of sin, a sinful lifestyle is death. So we don't discipline ourselves. And number four, the sinful act brings death. That's it. When we commit that sin, go to Matthew chapter 15. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus speaking, go to Matthew chapter 15. We're still talking about our best scripture is Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 to 19, And then our scripture today is Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. No, go to Matthew chapter 15. We are going to be here tomorrow, but I'm not going to be teaching because I got to go. Y'all, those healers that I put in that lady's house, those combinations, I got to go and tying them into the system, into the distribution system, to the radiators and stuff tomorrow and start cutting out the stuff to get them in. Matthew chapter 15, let's look at verse 18 to 20. Here, Jesus is speaking. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. You see, there's this thing that we're talking about. Let's go to verse 16. And he said, Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? You see, what happened is we hear a lot of stuff, but we don't understand. We are listening to a lot of stuff, but we don't understand. And we don't even seek to get understanding. We don't seek. So we're just skimming over the wisdom and knowledge that is set before us. We don't go to him and ask him, because he said, if any man lack knowledge, come to God. God will give you the knowledge and understanding that you need. But we don't spend time. We don't think God can talk. Let me say that. Because we want to tell God everything. We say everything. But we don't even shut our mouth from time to time to hear what God is saying. Jesus said, are you also without understanding, talking to the disciples? He said, do you not yet understand that whatsoever in at the mouth go into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Hallelujah. They were talking about when they eat stuff, it defiles and all this stuff. But Jesus makes this thing plain. It's not what goes in the mouth, but what comes out of the heart. So we have to be careful of what we allow to go in the heart and what we come out of the mouth. We got to pay attention to what we're speaking. Hallelujah. This is why my pastor told me many years ago, don't get in the word, get the word in you. You have to put the word in every day, so when you open your mouth, word will come out. But if you're watching the soap operas, if you're reading those Playboy magazines and all that stuff and watching the X-rated stuff and pornography on the computer, when you open your mouth, that stuff you're going to talk about. It's not going to glorify God. It's not going to edify the body of Christ. Because what goes in your heart is what's going to come out your mouth. What goes in your mouth is what's going to come out in the toilet. That's what Jesus says. Let's go back here. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Hallelujah. James chapter 3, verse 6. That's over there. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Now all of this comes out of the heart. Verse 20 says, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not. Amen. The Pharisees, they were concerned about Jesus' disciples eating without washing their hands. You know, they have all these rituals that they do. But God, he spoke to them and to his disciples. Let them know that, look, it's not what goes in the mouth. And even if you eat with unclean hands, you might just pick up some germs. But it's not going to defile your heart. It's going to go in the drought. When you go on the toilet, hallelujah, you go to the bathroom. But we have to be careful. You know, we sit down with people and they're talking all of this stuff, all of this impure things that they're putting in the atmosphere. And we said, well, I'm not saying it, but you're listening to it. The people are sitting there, you're sitting all the people, and every other word that comes out their mouth is a cuss word. And you're sitting right with them, but you say you're born again. You say that you're sanctified. You say that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And you're sitting around with people that they're talking all this X-rated pornography and talking about pornography. And they got these magazines and all this stuff. And you're sitting there laughing. Look at this picture. Look at her. Look at him. And all this stuff, they're filling in there. It's going into their hearts because it's going in their eye gates and going into the air gates. And you're sitting there with them saying you're saved and sanctified. You can't even excuse yourself and say, well, I got to go. You know, if I go to some person's house and they're cussing and drinking, and I say, I spend little time, even though I would say to my associates or something, I got to go, see you later.
Why, I'm not going to sit around there with them drinking and cussing. Why? Because they're going to go in my ear gates. Hallelujah. And where do your ear gates connected to your heart? Your soul. That's what, as soon as somebody says something that you don't like, and you get all upset, you will flip on and get a piece of your mind. And what comes out of there? A cuss word. And the person that are not saved looks at you, look at us and say, well, I thought she would say, but I thought he would say. Why? Because you defile your body. Well, what do you allow to come in your heart? Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans. This is another way of saying this. It is within mankind's nature to sin. However, this does not justify sin because man's nature can be disciplined for better than mankind exhibits. We can discipline our own nature. We know we sometimes say, well, because we are doing this because of our foreparents, Adam and Eve, sinned in the garden, so we have sin nature. Yes, we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross to save your soul. But your flesh is not saved. But you have the power over your flesh. You have the power to speak. Because it said death and life is the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we have the power to speak over our flesh. No, devil, you're not going to get me doing this stuff today. This is devil. Go somewhere else. He's speaking to your flesh. He is putting words in your mind that make you want to fornicate. He's putting words in your mind that make you want to steal. He's putting words in your mind that make you want to steal. Lie, cheat, cuss. All of these things that devil put away because you now develop a spirit of unbelief. You are hearing the gospel every day, but you don't believe the gospel. So what happens? That you now become hanging your unbelief with evil. So now you not want to do evil things because you don't believe. You don't believe what you're hearing. You don't believe what you're reading. You don't believe what you're seeing that is of God. You're looking at the things that surround you in the world, and it's making you get excited because you want to be part of what the world is seeing. If sin is to be stopped, these two areas simply must be dealt with, or sin will continue unabated. The carnal mind, man's normal nature, is at war with God. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind does what it wants to do. And the only way that the carnal mind can come under subjection is through repentance. Turning completely over man's will, man's way of thinking, to God. When man does that, then God can activate his will in man's life. Because God gives man a choice. He gives man a will. And when man is in control, of his own will, God will not suffer. Because he is a man that got to keep it. He is a God that has to keep order. He's a God that has to keep rule of what he says. God is not going to say one thing and do something that's different. He gave you a will. He gave you a choice, which is the same thing. Will is the same thing as a choice. God is not going to step beyond what he said. So where you got? You're not a robot. I didn't make robots. I give you that power that you can choose if you really want to serve me or if you want to live a lie. And God will let you go on living a life that you decide to repent and come to him and ask him to change you. And he will change you. He will renew you. Paul said you got to submit to God. You got to submit to God. What he says. Now go to Romans chapter 12. Let's put that in this. And this is what Paul says. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For us to know you, when you turn your will over to God, like I was saying, now God now can work for you. God can now institute his word in you. The word of deliverance, the word of peace, the word of mercy and grace can come into your heart. The word that you want to live a holy life can come into you. But God's not going to step beyond that. Now, here, and it is not subject to the law, because out of sheer unbelieving stubbornness, it will not permit itself to submit completely. This is why God says that he will give us a new heart in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. God will give you and I a new heart when we submit and commit. Thank you, Bishop. Bishop, I hear your spirit, my God. When we submit and commit to God, God will give us a new heart. But we find it difficult, Apostle. We find it difficult from time to time to submit. Why do we find it difficult to submit and commit? I'll tell you why. Because we want to have our own way. We want to say that we love the Lord, that we care for the honor of the Lord, but we don't want to submit and we don't want to commit. Bishop, you gave me that word. We don't want to submit and we don't want to commit. Hallelujah. As long as you want to continue walking and talking and living in your own way, you are not going to experience the power and the authority of God. You hear what I'm saying? We just got back from Louisiana, from L.A., and had to come home because my baby got surgery, and now she got to go through some other serious tests. But God is in control. Hallelujah. We want to go and celebrate with Apostle Stuart, but we couldn't. We went there one Sunday, but we wanted to celebrate to the fullest. But God is still in control. See, you sometimes you have to move from some things because you've got to take care of other things. Now we have to give completely ourselves over to God. I'm talking about when unbelief joins hands with evil. In our times, folk are in the house of the Lord. I like to call it the house of man. But we are in the house of the Lord, and we are not really submitted, or we are not committed to God. So we have a lot of unbelief, because when we don't see what we want to see, we don't believe that God is working. We don't believe that God is moving. God is not stagnated. God is not sitting somewhere still. He's not somewhere in a far country. God is moving all over the United States of America, all over Africa, all over India, all over China, all over the Caribbean. He is moving because he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent and omniscient. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing God. God is not stand still. He is not stagnant. Hallelujah. But if we don't see what we want to see happening through God, we believe God is not doing anything. So what we do? We become distant from God. We start to not believe what God is saying in his word. So we start doing our own thing. So unbelief shows up, and then we become vindictive and deceptive. Hear what I said? We become vindictive and deceptive. We are all set up to get what we can. And we will use deceptive words and deceptive teaching and stuff to get what we can. The Bible uses the word heart to represent all the internal and intangible of human personality. Today, we might say this heart is what makes us tick. It is the spirit in the heart that lures us indeed, drives us to conduct ourselves in a way that is hostile to God. The Bible shows the prostitute having a specific spirit or heart driving her. God says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12, let's go back there, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12, do we say that? My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declares unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone, astray from under their God. They rejected God because of unbelief. The spirit man, that thing inside of them that caused them to no longer believe God. Hosea says, my people ask counsel. Instead of seeking God, they're asking counsel for other places. other entities, and they become, for the spread of harlotry has caused them to stray. And they have played the harlot against their God. He added in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4, they do not direct their deeds towards turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst. See, when you allow sin to come in your midst, sin will look so good to you that sin will make you start developing a spirit of unbelief towards your God. And you start doing things that make you feel good. Do you hear me today? I'm talking about when unbelief joins hands with evil coming out. This is part two of the message from yesterday. And Hosea chapter 5 verse 4 is the main word we have for today. And yesterday we had Hosea chapter 4 verse 1 to 19. Today we have Hosea chapter 5 verse 4. No. And we're hearing some other scriptures that we go through this sermon. They do not direct their deeds towards turning to God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. So many people are in the village taking up the basic instruction before leaving earth, the Bible, but they do not have a relationship with God. How do you know that, Pastor? Because you just say the wrong thing to them, and you will see. They will give you a piece of their mind. They will cut you out. But yet, say the fire baptized, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled. Holy Ghost with me. I tell them in Louisiana, you mean Holy Ghost, not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. They got Holy Ghost, but not Holy Ghost. Because when you got the Holy Ghost, you're not going to act like the world. But you have a lot of leaders that have the Holy Ghost. And they profess that they have the Holy Ghost. They don't have no Holy Ghost. I told you, they have the Holy Ghost. Believe what I'm telling you. This thing is so deep that Hosea is talking about. When they can walk, claiming that they walk with God, God lead them out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land, give them a lot of soul with milk and honey. And yet still, they turn their back on him. Like we do. No sooner we get the husband, no sooner we get the wife, no sooner we get the new car and the home and the swimming pools and the four-car garage. We forget that who brought us out, who gave us, who took us out the crack house, who took us out the whole house, who's taking care of us, who bring us out the hospital bed where we were laying there for dead, who came in there and healed us, not the doctor, not the scientist, God, Jehovah God, Jehovah Rapha, but we don't give him what's due to him. So we allow this unbelief. Then folks say, well, I know the people pray for me. And I thank the people for praying for me. I really thank them for praying for me. Yeah, I thank you for praying for me. But I give God more. I give God all the praise because of him who healed my body. You got to understand. Don't praise the people. That says that you appreciate. You appreciate the people that pray for you. But God is the one. He is the ultimate. He needs the ultimate praise. He needs all the glory because it's him that didn't call you out of this world, that allow you to still stay in this world. We don't give no praise. Well, my wife do this to me. My husband do this to me. All the praise you're giving to your husband, not to your wife. Who give your husband the strength? Who give him the breath to breathe? Hallelujah! But we don't give him the praise. We don't give him the praise. They do not direct these powers turn into their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst. Sin is in the midst. And they do not know the Lord. In a context like this, the Bible uses spirit to indicate an immaterial force or power, an attitude, leaning, inclination, outlook, position, propensity, or proclivity to prove act or conduct oneself in a certain manner or direction. In Hosea chapter 5 and 4, the conjunction for shows the direct connection between the people's sinful idolatry, worshiping conduct, and the spirit of harlotry. This spirit is one of the intangibles that compromise human nature, and it direction of conduct is to be disloyal and unfaithful to Israel's commitment to God ratified in the old covenant, in which she vows all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. This is what they said to Joshua. Hallelujah. They also said this to Moses. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, they told Joshua, Moses will be with you. God said, I will be with Moses, I will be with you. The people said, the same way we act with Moses, we're going to act with you. We're going to obey you as we obey Moses. No, they didn't obey Moses all the time. And they didn't obey God all the time. You know, when they feel like they obey God, when they feel like they listen to God, we do the same thing. When it's feeling good to us, we want to honor God. When it don't feel good, we don't want to honor God. And if we just gotta get up one morning and just got a little tummy ache, we don't want to go to fellowship. We don't want to go to the church building. We stay home and we turn on the TV and watch some kind of foolish show that don't do nothing for your soul. We don't press on in spite of knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We don't press on. We got the smallest pain. We said we're not going. I'm going to lay in the bed. What's going to happen in the bed when you lay in the bed? Who are you going to call on when you get in the bed? Are you going to open your Bible and talk to Jesus while you lay in the bed? No. You turn on that TV. You turn on that TV and watch something that's not conducive to your soul. Remember, what we are considering is something. What we are considering is something the entire nation is guilty of, both men and women. We are looking at the streetwalker type of prostitute only because the Bible provides a clear picture of what motivates her. Once we grasp her motivations, we can extrapolate them to illustrate the whole nation and ourselves individually, because we have participated in the same system and it drives linger in us. This, of course, is not to accuse anyone of being a streetwalker. Recall that two of the definitions of prostitution are abasing oneself for personal gain and abusing one's gift, talent, and skills for the same. For instance, biographers of famous personalities, especially of artists, occasionally writes that their subjects felt they had prostituted their gifts to become wealthy. This is what God implies in Amos chapter 3 and verse 2. You only have to know of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. He expected more and better from them than from any other nation. In terms of the knowledge of God and their access to instructions in the way of life that would produce the most and best towards physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. No other nation came even close to what Israel had, because God had chosen them to be his people. Nevertheless, in following the examples of pagan nations who did not know God, Israel frivolously prostituted herself for what she considered personal gain. Now what will we do? We do that a lot of times for us that we would get so caught up in self and self-need that we forget the call. We forget the assignment. We forget the one that chose us. We forget the position that we stand as a believer, as a leader. We forget the position that we stand in. All we're thinking about is our bills. We're thinking about all of these things. We don't think about helping nobody. Or anybody, let's say that anybody, because that's bad English. We don't think about helping anybody else, only me, my four, no more. But you see, you're serving God. When it comes to giving, you forget. But when it comes to wanting, you never forget. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. Every time. Let me go talk. Let me go tell God my problem that God don't know. He knows all things. All things. He knows what I want before I even ask him. He knows what I'm in need of before I open my mouth. I tell him anything. I tell people all the time, I don't get on my bed. I pray on my bed all the time. I pray on my back and I pray in the shower. I was in the shower this morning praying for all the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But one that I lifted real strong this morning was Apostle Millie's sister, because she's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I lift her up heavy this morning. But I pray on my bed, on my back, and I pray in the shower. That's my prayer. That's my closet. On the bed and in the shower. And I don't go in there asking God for stuff. I don't go in there asking God for stuff. The more thing I ask him for is discernment. And I ask God to help me don't hurt people. I ask God, don't let me misuse nobody. Don't let me abuse anybody. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. I'm not going to let anything hinder me. I know people say, I'm going to heaven. Well, you can say you're going to heaven all day long. But if you don't live to go to heaven, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. I'm going to tell you right now. If you don't live to go to heaven, you're going to hell. People say, but I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, better check your lifestyle. You better take an inventory of your lifestyle. Take an inventory of how you talk to people, how you treat people. Huh? And if it's not laying up with God's word, you're going to hell. I'm telling you, I don't care how much word you preach. I don't care how much word you teach. If you don't treat people right, if you don't forgive people, if you don't repent, and if you don't live a life that pleases God, you're going to hell. Nothing's going to bypass God. He sees all. He said, we cut this body up, cut that body up, talk bad with this body, talk with, and the gospel, chief gospel. Read the book of Revelation, you're going to see. You're going to see where they stand. Stop gossiping. Stop gossiping. If you like gossiping and you can't stop, stop calling people. Don't talk to people on the phone. And then people call you, you know, don't answer the phone because you're going to gossip. You know you like gossiping. Stop it. Listen, have we not all debased ourselves by incriminately accepting the personal gain of the immediate gratification of an unlawful desire? And in the same process, ignores or consciously shoves aside our knowledge of the truth of God. Once we have knowledge of the truth, thus removing our ignorance of God, his way, and his law, if we did not prostitute ourselves, there would be no sin in our lives. The sad truth is that we do not discipline or control ourselves, but instead we indulge ourselves and sin occurs. We have prostituted ourselves without. We must do better. A lot of times, because we know the truth, we act like we don't know the truth. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We act like we don't know the truth, and God is holding us responsible for what we know. There's no escape. There's no escape. We know that because we know the truth, we ought to walk in the truth. I hear Apostle says, when you know the truth, you'll do better. When you know better, you'll do better. Well, a lot of people know better, but don't do better. And God is holding us, all of us. Now, I study this word, and I got this sermon written down that I'm going back and forth. Now, we know the word of God, but do we live the word of God? I have to ask myself that all the time. Lord, and I said, Lord, help me to live this word. Help me to live this word. I just don't want to preach and teach this word, but help me to live this word. Why? Because it's by living the word that I will be able to enter in. It's not by teaching the word, not by preaching the word. A lot of folks think because they have a PhD degree, they have a bachelor's degree, they have all of these doctorate degrees that they're going to heaven. They get up there and they put it on Facebook and they want you to see, and they hold their thing on their chest or they want you to see they have a doctorate degree. But because you're holding that card on your chest saying you got a doctorate degree, you think they're going to let you into heaven? No, what's going to let you in is when you live holy. He said, without holiness, no man would see God. So what we have to do, we have to go and we have to look at this word for ourselves. Examine this word. Examine our life, our lifestyle according to the word. Not according to David Cameron's word. Not according to David. Because I don't have the keys to heaven or hell to let you in. If I could, I'd let everybody in. But I don't have the keys. Jesus has the keys. Not even the Father. Jesus has the keys. So what we have to do is that we got to go into this book, you and I, and we have to take inventory of ourselves, of our lifestyle according to the word. Not according to your husband. Not according to your wife. Because your wife is not responsible for you getting in. You are responsible. I'm responsible. Your wife may not make it in. Your husband may not make it in. What about you? You got to make sure that you make we got to make sure that we make it in by living this life. Don't allow unbelief to hold hand with sin, with evil. Don't allow it. Because it won't come. I don't like that word. I don't like how he preached that word. I like how she preached that word. No, it's not about the preacher. It's about the word. Can you hear the word? And then if the word convicting you, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to strengthen you in that area. While you're hearing the word, still you listen to the word, you are focusing on the preacher. But I don't like his accent. He speaks too fast. You're learning the devil to let you to come in and dissect and critique the preacher instead of listening to the word of God. We come on it. We go to the church building. We go on the line, and all we do is critiquing the preacher instead of listening to the word of God, the spirit of the word of God, to see what God wants us to check on, what God wants us to work on. Let me do this here. Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to verse 25. Matthew chapter 14. Okay. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." See, now verse 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is thou," Jesus just said to him, "bid me come unto thee on the water." Now Jesus just told you that is him. Can you hear God speaking to us today? God is telling you that it's him that's leading. And you're still asking, still want to know who's leading. You want to know who's standing in front of you. Who is your helper? Who is your deliverer? Who is your restorer? You still want to know. He just told you, "I'm your deliverer." And you still want to know. You're trying to figure out how he's going to take you to the place you need to be. Peter said, "If it is thou, bid me not come." No. Straightway Jesus spake unto him, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered, said unto him, "Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Verse 30, walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me." If you ever take your eyes off of Christ, you're going to find yourself doubting, developing the spirit of unbelief. And you'll find yourself sinking. Hallelujah. Connected to the things that are not of God. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" See, that the unbelief comes, you'll find yourself drifting away, sinking away from Christ. The Bible says, he says, we see that doubt cause fear. But we also see a hint of how we can combat the fear and get it under control. As long as Peter kept his focus on Christ, he could do the impossible. But once he began walking by sight, fear gripped him. Under his control, he was no longer able to do the impossible. Even though fear is a natural human emotion, we do not control it, or does it control us? Do we control fear, or do fear control us? In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 4, hold your finger there. Genesis chapter 4. I got a little bit more to give you. I'm going to turn this over to Bishop James and open the line. Just a little bit more. Tomorrow, Apostle Millie will come, and I got to go do some work. I need some money to help these people. So I need to go do some work. I got to go. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says that, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Sin is considered as a he, his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Now, this is talking about Cain and Abel. Understand that when you do well, that you're going to be rewarded. If you do bad, you're going to get a reward for that too. But it's not going to be good. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3 and 12, the writer warns us, beware. And about, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, unbelief and evil will cause you to depart from the living God. Somebody's sleeping. And depart from the living God. We need to be on guard against unbelief. The author conjures up a picture of an evil enemy ready to pounce, advising us that we always need to be at the ready for its attack. We must face it and overcome it. We must always be ready. This unbelief is always lurking around. Evil and unbelief is always lurking around, trying to take us out. This verse is not talking about the normal unbelief and its fruit of fear that all people have. For fearfulness is a common human condition. As our Creator, God understands that doubts will creep in now and again. Rather, it speaks of a heart controlled by doubt, by unbelief, leading to fear that can cause us to cut and run from the living God. No. That kind of heart will drag a person down just as Peter doubt dragged him down into the waters of Galilee. The central peril of unbelief is that it breaks the trust that is the basic of our relationship with God. We can see how this works in Satan. God created him perfect. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15. Yet, somewhere along the line, he no longer believed that God was good and doubted that God had his best interest at heart. This doubt about God's love led to the fear that he would not get what he deserved. That fear, born up of his unbelief and doubt, led to his rebellion, and the most glaring example yet of departing from the living God. Does God have our best interest at heart? Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 says it. Yes, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. As the old saying goes, this is straight from the horse's mouth, from the highest authority in the universe. The only question is, do you believe it with every fiber of your being? Very important for us to understand. In Luke chapter 22, this is the last scripture I'm going to give you, and I'm going to cut out. Luke chapter 22, let's start at verse 52. A couple of verses here. Jesus, have mercy. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, Be ye come out as against the teeth with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now, Jesus is in the temple. And, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they come to him to arrest him. This is when he's going to be betrayed by Judas. And Jesus said, you come to me with swords and staves like I'm a thief. I was with you all day, all the time in the Garden of in the temple, but you don't even stretch forth a hand to touch me. But this is your hour. And see, there's an hour that comes from time to time that the enemy comes to tempt you. The enemy comes to tempt you, to destroy you, to deceive you. And you have to know when the hour comes that you have to stand up. Jesus then give in to them. Then fight back. He let them do what they came to do because he knew the hour was there. This was the hour that he would have to give. And verse, he says, that's it. Yeah, 52:53. He says, the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Sin. The tragic situation showed unbelief to be destructive, ugly, and cruel. Christ possesses all the power to serve, to heal, and to bring peace. Yet he was seized and bound to suppress his good works. He lives, died, and rose again so that one day he could fulfill his own inspired words from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. Yet his captors and eventual slaves in their ungodly malice could see his good words and works only as threats, and him only as an enemy, a man to shame, wrong, and kill. People are no better today. Christians are prohibited from praying in many government buildings or at public gatherings, and they are sometimes prevented from speaking the truth because man's laws have, in effect, seized and bound such activities. The powers of darkness have influenced this world to hinder and persecute Christians just as Christ was. Finally, Jesus' captors took him into custody despite being witnesses to the greatest source of knowledge and truth ever manifested on earth, foolishly thinking they were superior minded to Christ and his disciples. These men's actions will forever be a shameful tribute to unbelief. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. Had they truly known him and the truth he brought, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, you can read Romans chapter 1, 18 to 22 for yourself. And then we'll go to, when we come up, we'll do a third part. We'll go to John chapter 6. We'll do a third part. Father, we just thank you, and we praise you for this day. We glorify you, O God. We ask, O God, that you give us strength to do what you call us to do each day. We ask, God, that you bless those that hear the word and bless those that would hear the word at a later date. We know, God, that you are a gracious God, that you are a righteous God and a merciful God. God, that you never give us what we deserve, but you always give us what we need. We ask you, God, to continue to heal our body, heal our soul, O God. Heal our mind, heal our eyes, heal our ears, our feet, arms, everything. Lord, we ask, God, that you heal cancer today, that you heal the liver, heal the kidneys, heal the heart, heal the mind. God, we ask that you strengthen us internally, Lord God, and that you continue to give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, let us not abuse or offend our brother man, but help us to be a helper to each and every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even those that don't know you, Lord, we ask that you give us the words to give to them that they might say, what must I do to be saved? Bishop James, are you there? If you're there, come on in, do the prayer of salvation, and we'll open the line. Come on in. Are you there, Bishop?
I am.
Can you hear me, Apostle?
I hear you now. Your phone is a little low, though. Raise your volume.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a little better now. Yeah, you're a little better now.
All right. Praise the Lord. And I thank everyone who came to the line today and everyone who heard this message. I pray in the name of Jesus for those who have backslidden and those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they do so at this time. You know, we never know when the Lord will require our soul. Hallelujah. So I would encourage everyone, if you have never received the Lord Jesus as your blessed Savior, do it now. Don't hesitate. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, I'll do it later. Do it now. Because God knew that we were all made of dust, and he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved through him. Hallelujah. It's the only way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, that the world through Jesus might be saved. Because God knew that we all fall short of his glory each and every day. Hallelujah. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And we know that the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. Hallelujah. But the gift of life, the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. God gave us salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Romans, salvation prayer is in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. And the word says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That, and the verse 9 is the confession. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've made that your confession, you are now saved. Hallelujah. But you have to repent. Do not go back to your previous ways. You have a clean slate. Oh, Jesus, thank you for receiving you, for receiving me as his Savior. You know, we all should say this at least once every day. Just confess, Lord, I'm glad you saved me. Oh, God, please keep me in your loving arms and don't let me stray. Hallelujah. And remember, repent. Repent is not returning to the ways that you have lived. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the Lord, same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's right in the scripture. It's right in the scripture. Book of Romans, chapter 10. Hallelujah. Read it for yourself. But like I said, you must repent. And if you've never been baptized, this is the way we do it here on Block Talk Radio, same as the apostles did in the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 2, again at chapter 2, verse 38 through 41. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I urge you to join those 3,000 souls and the many, many hundreds of thousands, millions who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior to do so. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. And in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it says it, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, no other than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, congratulations if you receive Jesus today. And if for those who have backslidden, if you've rededicated your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, congratulations to you. Hallelujah. Now, and invite people to your baptism. Hallelujah. Make sure you do that. Invite family members and friends and co-workers and the like, neighbors, even a stranger on the street, even an enemy. Invite them. But by doing so, coming to your baptism, just tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them what happened. Tell them what you did. Hallelujah. And by doing so, they may accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that soul will be chalked up to your account. When you get your heavenly reward, the Lord will say, well, whoever you are, you know, you got this one, you got that one. You know, and they have a long list. But that person may have told someone else, and all that counts for you in your account. So praise the Lord God Almighty. If you have a Bible, we suggest that you read the Bible every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you where He wants you to read and give you full understanding of what you're reading. And if you replayed this message today and on yesterday, the continuation was today in Hosea verse 5. If you read Hosea verse 4 and then verse 5, chapter 4 and then chapter 5, I'm sorry. You read those scriptures and chew on them for a while. Take your time. God will reveal everything He wants you to know. In some way, He will. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Welcome back home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Apostle Bishop. Thank God for you, for that word, that prayer of salvation. And we are blessed to have you and your lovely wife as part of the team of what we are doing here for the kingdom. And we want to let you know that we really, truly appreciate you and the gift of God that's upon your life. The line is now open for anyone that want to come and just elaborate on what you heard or what the Lord is giving you to add to the word. Just don't take anything from it. Just add. You help me to grow a little bit more because we are helpers one to another. There's no big eyes or small U's over here. So the line is open. The line is open.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah, possibly.
Give praises unto Yahweh. We bless His holy name.
Yes.
For what He gives
bless
to us each day. Thanking Yahweh for this word this morning. What a word, what a man, Jesus Christ. He's greater. He's wonderful. Everything about Him is beautiful. That we have a better understanding of what we need to do to be close to this man, this Holy One, this brother of ours, this Savior, this Sanctifier, this Redeemer who has redeemed us from death, from hell, from the curse, that life, this afterlife where our spirit will go if we don't put our hands in his hands and take our hands out of the hand of the wicked. Mm-hmm. Father, we are grateful for this word. Your word, Jesus Christ, your son, the son of the living God, Jehovah, or Yehovah. Yes, God, we praise you. We thank you for your son, your apostle who delivered this word, the one that has given his life unto you, O God. And we pray you bless him. And we know you will, but we always ask that you bless him even the more in his walk, in this walk, this holy walk. It's a holy walk that he walks. He's not walking on the outside, but he's inside. He's inside of Jesus Christ, inside of the Word. And Father, we thank you for this vessel, this man of God, mm-hmm. who blesses us as he is in you. We ask you to bless his family. God, we thank you for blessing them beyond measure as he sold himself, his life, into the kingdom. And Lord, we know the blessings will be spread abroad among everyone who listens and decides to give their life unto Jesus Christ. So God, we ask you to give him even the more when he comes back with another message from you, Yahweh. And that each time that he preach and teach and prophesy and give of himself to the kingdom, that you will lift him even higher, O God, in you. For the glory, for your glory, God, our to gloat, for us to gloat, because he's not one to gloat, he's not one to brag on himself. But God, he boasts on you. So, Lord, we thank you for the greater even to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Oh, God, that everywhere he goes, that he will be blessed even the more as he go in you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, for in every life he touch, will be blessed with the touch of Jesus Christ. As he touched with his mouth, as he touched with his giving, as he touched with his walk, O God, with his hands, O God, that their lives will be blessed like never before. Let him hear like never before, see like never before. Yes, God, you Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
God bless you. Apostle, God bless you. Amen, and your family.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Lord bless. The Lord bless you and yours as well. Thank God for you and Bishop, your sons and your daughter, and your grandchildren. We thank God for all of you.
Thank
God for what he's doing in your life and your ministry.
Thank
and
you, God.
As we always say, the best is yet to come.
We haven't seen our best yet.
We haven't our best yet. It's coming, though. It's coming.
Right.
Our best is coming. Hallelujah. Yet to come. We just got to stay on the wall like Nehemiah. We got to stay on the wall like Nehemiah. Don't come down.
Keep working.
No matter what's going on. And we know it's going to get worse, but we're not coming down. We're not coming down because the enemy, we know the enemy going to send folk that are close to us to distract us, to try to delay us, but we're not coming down.
Not
we experienced
down.
That already. We experienced that already. We're not coming down off the wall. We're going to stay, because we're building the wall. We're doing a good work. That's what Nehemiah said. We're doing a good work.
Yes.
We're doing a good work. We're not coming down. We're not coming down.
Not coming down.
We're not coming down.
Not coming down.
I thank God for you and Bishop. I really do. Thank God, Bishop. Did such an awesome prayer this morning. And he was clear. No coughing, no nothing. I tell you, it was just right. Let's just show you.
Yeah.
God, persist when you persist in God. God will meet you right where you are. No coughing at all, I tell you.
Okay.
This is God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's working it out for our good. He's working it out for our good and for his glory.
Working it all out.
You just got to get to that place. You know.
Yes, God.
I know somebody, you are possibly going to bring the word tomorrow, because I'm going off. I got a lot of lines, man, about 20-some lines I got to tie in tomorrow. I'm not going to get them all tied tomorrow. I'm not going to let it. But I'm going to cut out everything tomorrow. But I know by the end of this week, Lord, seeing I should have that thing tied in, everything tied in. And probably Sunday or Monday, I'm going to fry the heat up on that system so I don't have to go back there. And then I got another house I got to go to and fry the heat up, fill up the system, and fry the heat. The work is done. I just got to fill the system up and fry it up. I already got paid for that second job already. Just get that. Just got to go get it ready.
Thank you, God.
But the Lord is doing stuff. And I had another call from a lady yesterday. God is just so blessing us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and this lady, I left and went to L.A. and I came over there, and we had such an awesome time in the Lord. And this lady, the people had messed up her house, and I went over there and did an estimate for her. And she told me, she says, I'm not going to get this new system put in until you come back, Apostle. And they have to give her, I had to replace the system because they messed it up. And she says she don't want the same people put the system in. She want me to put it in. And yesterday when I called, I said, I just called to let you know I was back. She said, you are a man of you're a man of your word. You say you will call me when you get back. And I called her. She says, well, they haven't given her this new system yet, that they contaminate the system that they put in the house, and it didn't work. Brand new system, they contaminated. And so they mixed two gases together and contaminate the system. So I gone straight it up for her. So she says, I got to do the whole new job. And she said, I told my brother and I told my sisters. And she said, I told all of my family members, they got houses. She said, and I told them, when did they get a problem to call you that you're a man of God? I said, wow.
Amen.
I said, wow. See, God said, your gift will make room for you. Your gift will make room for you.
Yes, you
but
will.
Also,
it'll
you got to live according to the gift. In order for the gift to make room, you got to live according to the gift. You can't say, I got the gift and live like the devil. You got to live godly. You got to live godly. Don't take advantage of nobody. Don't take advantage of nobody.
Hallelujah.
Don't deceive nobody. And God will bless you. Yesterday, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to make some money to help these people. I told him, I said, Lord, I need to make some money to help these people, Lord. And here this woman saying, she's telling all these people. So, you know, when things break in the winter, summertime, as I'm alive, then people gonna call. They gonna call me, you know.
Yes, they
will. What we do? So
we thanking
God. The line is filled. Apostle, the line is filled. I can't see the end of the board. The line is filled with people, and nobody has seen anything. But the line is filled. We thank God for all those that came on. Some new numbers on there today that came on and heard the word of God. This is God's word. And God is truly speaking to us through this word. I'm going to do a third part of it before I go back to the other message, because God is really speaking to us. I mean, I heard so much in the word this morning.
Yes,
it just blessed me that what the Lord is saying to us, that about this unbelief holding on to evil. And God is saying to us so clearly through the word that we have to examine our own self through his word. Not by what people say or what people do. We can't line ourselves up because I'm different to that apostle or better than that pastor. No. See if I line up with God's word. I got to examine myself according to God's word. See if I'm meeting the standard anyway. if I'm even close to the standard God is expecting. I have to lay myself up. When I start to do that and see that, then I can go to God and say, God, this is a part of my life that I need to help me to work on. But as long as we think that we have already gotten there, guess what? We're going to be stagnant. We're going to be stagnant. God is not stagnant. He's not stagnant.
Amen.
We're going to be stagnant. We're going to be stuck on stupid. So I don't want to be stuck
That's
on
right.
stupid. Like I said this morning, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get up here and say I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And in order for me to go to heaven, I'm going to have to do some things according to God's word. I'm going to have to examine myself. I'm going to have to work on stuff. David says, created me a clean heart. Oh, God, and renew a right spirit within me. So I have to look and see if my heart is clean enough to meet God's standard. I want to see if my spirit is clean enough, if my spirit is right. So I know there's some areas of my life that don't meet God's standard. So I'm asking God to help me because I really and truly can't do it on my own. I need God to help
That's
me to
right.
work on those areas of my life.
Yeah,
I need God
yeah,
to help me.
Yeah.
David walked, talked to God daily, and he asked God. He
mm-hmm.
said, God, look, created me a clean heart. He
yeah.
committed murder. He sent a man to the
yeah.
forefront, his best friend, his commander to the forefront of the body to commit murder, to get killed. And plus he killed people. He committed adultery. He said, Lord, my heart is messed up. When I look, because David was in the cave hiding from Saul. David could not write. There was a time, if you read and study David, there was a time lapse in David's ministry that he couldn't write. God wasn't talking to him. God wasn't talking to him. But then he went to God and said, Lord,
yeah.
God, I did this thing. I did this thing. He went and tell God, look, I did, like God don't know. But he went and tell God, look, I did this thing. I'm the one who committed this sin. And you got the right to judge me however you feel like. But God, he said, Lord, created me a clean heart. I want to live right now. That's what he's telling God. I want to do the things that
mm-hmm.
please you, God. That's what David was saying to God in essence. He was saying, God, I want to do the things that please you, God. So created me a clean heart and give me the right.
That's
I need
right.
a spirit that's right.
Mm-hmm.
See, this spirit that I got is messed up, is jacked up. My heart is filthy, God.
Right.
I need you to clean my heart, and I need you to give me the right spirit, a spirit that wants to serve you, that wants to live for you. So some folk are in the church, but they don't have the right. They're in the church building, but they don't have the right spirit. They don't have a clean heart. They will cut you out in a minute. They will tell, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind in a minute. And they will tell you, and you have got white eyes, have white eyes looking at them because you said, I thought that was a preacher. I thought he was a prophet. I thought she was a pastor. You know, because then they start to talk to you. My God, need to go back to God and say, God, clean my heart up. My heart,
Amen.
The crevices of my heart is messed
God
up, jacked up, Lord. God, fill in the crevices of my heart, Lord. Lord, my spirit,
help
I go off from time to time, Lord. And I need you to help me in that area of my life that I don't go off and act foolish before people, Lord. Lord, help me to walk that even when I'm not with other pastors and bishops and evangelists and teachers, Lord, that I'll be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, give me the right spirit, oh God. Because, Lord, sometimes we can be so holy and so pious when we're in the building, Lord. But when we're outside the building, we act unseemly. Lord, help me in this area. This is what we got to pray. We got to pray that stuff. And guess what happened? God will begin to work on us. He'll convict us. He'll convict us even when we are by ourselves, when nobody can see us. We'll be convicted to cry out to God to heal our life. You know, this is what it's all about. Because if you want to get into heaven, this is what we're going to have to do. It's not
yes.
about preaching the word. It's about living the word. It's about
Amen.
Living the word. Then you got so many people so full of doubt and unbelief and full of evil. I mean, you see some of these folk call themselves evangelists and preachers. Man, they're like a rattlesnake. You can't touch their tail. When that tail starts to rattle, you just think they will strike you. They will strike you. But yet still they say they love the Lord. I'm fire baptized, fire or Holy Ghost filled. See, but what they got,
My
they
God.
Got too much doubt inside them. Only thing that pleases them is when they got a pocket full of money, when their car full of gas. They say, well, God is blessing me. Well, anybody can get that. You can go to the gas station, fill your car anytime. You know?
Amen.
I know when God is blessing me. When I lay down here and I got that peace that surpasses understanding, God is blessing me.
Yeah.
My Lord, I tell when I'm laying down here, I know I'm not holding anything in my heart against nobody, God is blessing me. I know he blessed
me.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Yeah, I know he blessed me.
Hallelujah.
God bless him to
right.
me.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. When
Hallelujah.
I get in that car and I'm
Hallelujah.
Going up and I don't have to look at my left and look at my right seeing somebody going to hurt me, I know God is blessing me.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen.
When you go places and God show you that let you see evil, God is blessing you. You ain't got to go get no money. God show it, let you see evil. Hallelujah.
That's
that you
right.
can walk out alive and nobody don't have to bring you out on a stretcher. God is blessing you.
Jesus,
you
think
it's all about money. It's all about money.
Thank you,
when
God.
You live this word, when you live this word, God will show you. God will let you see evil. Hallelujah. It's not about cars and trains and planes and all that stuff. It's about living holy, being the word. Some people say, well, I don't have to look in the Bible. I can just preach the Bible without even looking at the pages. It's not about that. You can preach the Bible and still live like hell. I know a lot of preachers like that. Man, every day they roll on the floor. They walk over the pews, step on the chairs, and they're sweating and snorting and everything. And they get them off of walking over them pews and jumping on the floor and going on each desk. And then they go and commit all types of promiscuous acts that does not line up with the word. I know a lot of preachers. I ain't going to call them names, but I know a lot of them.
Amen.
Because I've been out here. Mm-hmm. I've been out here for a long time. I didn't just get out here. And God let me see. Mm-hmm. I went all the way to Las Vegas and saw hundreds and hundreds of preachers all the way to Africa. See them. I see him doing all type of stuff. And God said, I'll let you see this stuff, but this is what I don't want you to be. I don't
That's
want you
right.
to be. I didn't bring out the crack house in the whole house for you to act a fool. I bring you out to make a difference. When people see you, they will know that you truly are the man of God. You are my servant. That's what God do.
Hallelujah.
I'm not on no pedestal. I'm not putting myself on no pedestal. Because I stay down here so God can lift me up. If you stay humble, the Bible says here, exalt you in due season. Just humble yourself.
Yes,
lift you up in due season. The main thing we got to do is just examine our own self. Don't examine the next preacher's heart. Don't examine the next teacher's heart. Look at our own heart. Because God didn't ask you about the next preacher. He asked you about yourself. He's not asking you about your wife. He's not asking you about your husband. He's asking you about you. Did you live the way I give you? I give you the script. He gave us the blueprint to live holy. Are we following the blueprint? Are we doubting the blueprint? Because if you're doubting the blueprint, you're going to connect with evil. You're going to connect with it. You see a lot of preachers, when they doubt the blueprint, they see it, you see them on CNN. You see it on NBC, ABC, all these channels. Why? Because the apostle, you said it last week. The people are watching us. So when you mess up, they put you right on the front page. They don't put you in the middle of the paper. They put you right on the front page. The first thing comes on news. You know, the preacher from L.A. there's a preacher from L.A. that proclaimed to be knowing God. And there he was doing this, he was doing that. They put you on the call. Why? They want to mock God. They mock God. When God people act a fool, they mock God. That's what the devil do. They mock God. That's why we talked about Job yesterday, that in his spot, in the midst of all that Satan was doing to Job, Job didn't never sin. Job didn't never turn his back on God. This is what we got to do. We got to examine ourselves that when trials and tribulations come, we don't turn our back on God. We don't reject God and go back and act a fool. No.
That's right.
I believe every word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I believe every word. And I don't question it. Every word. Every word I believe it. You know,
I believe it.
And I'm asking God to help me understand every dot and every tittle. Every jot and every tittle of the word. I'm asking God to help me truly understand it all. Because the more I understand, the better I'll be able to live.
That's the word. That's why they get. And all you're getting, get understanding. What he said.
That's right.
You know, if you know a word, but you don't understand it and don't put it into use or apply it, then you won't get
That's
any
right.
understanding. You got to get
right.
it, you know, and just continue to keep our hands in the hands of God and not the hand of evil. And he will help us to launch out into the deep. He will help us to launch out into the deep. Because he's going to be with us, and we can launch out, and we can do it with holiness. We can do that.
Yeah.
You know, people always,
hallelujah.
A lot of people don't get delivered. It's because we're constantly saying, I just can't. I can't do that. I can't. But we got to take I out. Take out of the question.
Hallelujah.
And take our buts and our ands and our ifs out. Get your butts out of the way. Get your butts out of the way and allow God to take over.
Hallelujah.
God, I can't. I can't, but you can. But you can. Now, I'm giving this to you because I can't. Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my weakness. Because I can't do it without you. And when we begin to do that, and that's what David realized, I need you to create a clean heart in me.
Yes.
Create a right spirit in me. Because what he was saying was, I can't. He said, I need you to do it.
That's right, Lord.
And that's what we have to get that revelation. Don't keep trying to, don't keep saying, I can't do this. I just can't. I can't. Take it out of your vocabulary. That's right. And claiming this and claiming that, we got to stop that. Just say, God, take over.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, make over. Make me over. But we got to allow him to take us over. And then the makeover comes. Hallelujah.
Mm.
The hand in the hand of the man who walked the water.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
How to go down and get down into the deep. Hallelujah. Do the work and stop giving it lip service and do the work.
Jesus.
And give ourselves unto the service of God. You know, when David did what he did, he put his desires above God's desires.
Yes.
Above the desire that God had put in his heart. And the main desire is to love God and to serve him, to obey him. Yes. And he put his own lust and desire above God. And that's how he fell. That's how he fell. But thank God, God knew that he still loved him. But he disobeyed. But he loved the Lord. And David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that. But he still messed up. So, all we got to do is give it all to Jesus. That's the word I hear. Just give it all to Jesus. Take your butt out. Take the ifs and the add the but. Don't add nothing.
Hallelujah.
To God's word. Don't add our stuff to God's word. Don't try to make our way fit in, because it won't fit in. It
That's
won't
right.
fit in. Only God's
sure
way is going to work. So that's all we have to do. That's
Hallelujah.
What I hear. His whole word. Let God do it. Get yourself in the right place with God. That's it, and he will do it. I know I'm a witness.
Thank
you,
Lord.
We got to make up our mind. Okay, if you don't have enough, you feel like, okay, God, help me in my unbelief. Help me. Give me this understanding that you just mentioned, Apostle. Give me more understanding. Give me more of you, Jesus. And then stay still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and then you'll begin to experience God. He'll give you one encounter after another, and then you will build that relationship where you will have no more doubt, no more doubt, because you're launching out into the deep. You're giving it all to Jesus. That's what launching out into the deep is, giving it all to Jesus. And watch your harvest. Watch the harvest of holiness come in. It's a harvest. You were just talking about that just now. I'm blessed because God allowed you to see evil. I'm blessed because I'm safe. I'm blessed. You know, you were saying that just now. What is that? That's a harvest in your understanding. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have grown in your understanding. Just like God will multiply your finances, he will multiply everything you give out. He will also multiply your studying. He will multiply you in your giving as you give of yourself. Then you grow deeper in God. It's a harvest. It's a harvest. He multiplies everything. So you've given yourself to the Lord. You've given yourself to the service of the Lord, and he's going to grow you. You see what I'm saying? He's going to grow
yes,
you.
Lord.
You're going to go deeper, and he's going to grow you, and you'll see the harvest of that understanding, a harvest of that wisdom and that understanding that we must have in order to stay in there with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's in that. God know you're in a mess, but he doesn't run from your mess. God is right there, and he sees the mess, and his hands is right in there. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
His
Hallelujah.
Hand is in there with you, and he'll put his hands in your mess. Hallelujah. He'll touch you. Glory be to God.
Sure enough, will.
In your mess, and he'll bring you out of the mess. Not that mess won't come to us, because we know mess come all the time, right? People be messing all the time. The devil won't mess us up.
Hallelujah.
But God is right there. The mess ain't going to stop coming.
Right there.
But we're not supposed
right
to be the one to make the mess. We're not supposed to be the one to stay in the mess. We just trust God. Hallelujah. That God
Hallelujah.
Comes in and keeps us out of the mess that the devil will
yes,
bring.
Jesus.
That he keep us walking clean. And he let us see what that booger is up to, that nasty devil. He'll
yeah.
let us see what he's up to. And you'll be able to see, I see you, devil. I see what you're trying to do, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
No weapon. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. We got to begin to speak God's word. Put that word on that
yes.
devil. That's what Jesus did. He gave him the word when he went to tempt him. He gave him the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. When he tried to tempt him to turn the rocks into bread. My God, my God. God said, we cannot live
Thank
by bread
Jesus.
Alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of the Father.
Yes,
That's
Lord.
What he said. So we got to be processed. We got to be made over. We got to not mind being on a potter's wheel. We got to be there so God can shape us. Use the gifts. You mentioned the gifts. Use those talents and those gifts to take us higher in God, for the glory of God,
mm-hmm.
not for our own selfish boasting, our own
Thank
selfish
you,
ego. We got to be selfless, and put everybody else above our own need. And watch God prosper us in all things, in health, even as our soul prospers. Uh-huh.
Yes,
That's
Jesus.
What God
Help us. Yes, Lord.
When we launch out into that word, go deep, ask God for more, give me more, Jesus. I want to be closer
mm-hmm.
to you. Bring me closer.
Thank you, Lord.
Some people don't want to pray that prayer, because I've heard them say that's a dangerous prayer. Yeah, you know why?
Mm.
Because they don't want to go through the trials and the tests, and they know that when you say that, God gonna test you. When you say to God, take me deeper, when you say to God,
hey.
Use me, God. Huh?
Yes.
Yes, no. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tests.
And
they know
that's
that.
Right.
And they don't want to do that. They don't want to go through nothing. They don't want to go through none of that. They just want to prosper. You got to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And you always talk about all the things, prospering in things. We need to prosper in the spirit. More than
yeah.
anything, God, grow me spiritually. Multiply me, God. Give me that increase.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To the overflow.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Increase in holiness.
Mm.
When you say increase in holiness, God's going to take you there. Oh, he's going to take you there. He's going to see. Oh, I'm going to see if you're serious about it. Okay. Let's see if you can do this. Let's see if you can get through this. But we can if we just say, God, take me. Take me through it. Walk me through, Jesus, and he'll walk you through.
Yes, Lord.
Take you through. If you're on a sick bed, he'll lift you up out of that bed. Hallelujah. If you don't have nothing, he'll give you what you need. If you don't have no bread, he'll send the bread. He'll send the
yes,
money.
Yes, he will.
He'll send the
Hallelujah.
Person. He'll send everything.
Yes, he
and
will.
And everybody.
Yes, he will. Yes,
that
he will.
You need for your life. He said, I'll give you people for your life.
Don't yes,
worry
he will.
About those. Don't worry about them.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Don't worry
yes, he
about
will.
It because God
sure
has
enough
the
will.
People for your life. He'll
he
send
sure
the
enough
right
will.
Ones to solve divine connections like we were together.
last week.
Yes, Lord.
Divine connections together, glorifying God.
That's
doing
right.
The work of God. Praying for each other. Loving on each other.
Jesus.
In a holy way. In a holy way. We wasn't
Hallelujah.
Loving on each other. No. We were loving on each other. Like brothers and
my
sisters.
God, my God.
Taking care of each other, holding Bishop's hand as he's trying to walk, and my God, and helping each other, buying little things for each other. My God, hallelujah. But most of all, we was praying for each other and praying for all
yes.
the other people that we came in touch with, going to Jeffrey Lee, Prophetess Jeffrey Lee's house, and blessing her home, praying over her, prophesying over her and her family and her husband. That's the work we got to do. We could have just kept going out to dinner, and we could have said, oh, no, we're not going over there. We're not going over there. Oh, no. But that was on God's agenda. And she's calling me every day since and saying how blessed it was. It made
Hallelujah.
Our life. And that's what we want to see. That's what we work for the kingdom for, to see people's lives changed for the glory of God.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
My God, and
thank
I
thank
you, Lord. You know, we prayed for her grandson. You see, that's what we do. We prayed for her grandson, and he's out of jail. His child was facing life. This is what,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
God uses us for. And I cried, and I cried because I was so happy. I said, God, thank you. When Benji came out, I said, God, thank you. I was crying, you know, because it's tears of joy when we see the Lord
yes.
working it out. Hallelujah.
Yes.
When I see my son, just, you know, my son Peter, when he just come and have a conversation with us, because there's times that he didn't even know us. When I tell you he didn't know his own mama, he didn't know me. He
thank
was
you,
insane.
Lord.
He had totally lost his mind. He didn't know nobody.
Hallelujah.
He didn't know his own mama, his grandmother who was so close to him. But God. Does he still
God,
need some
yes.
mercy? God is working it. God is working it. God is working it.
God
but
is doing it.
Are you all right? Where's Paul Paul? Is Paul Paul okay? Are you all right? Everybody called my husband a Bishop Paul Paul. Even friends call him Paul Paul. Is Paul Paul all right? One time he didn't know Paul Paul anymore. I'm telling you what I know, what God will do. And when he talked to you on the phone, he didn't forget you.
That's right.
You all right, Apostle? He talked to you.
He knew who I was.
He was concerned about
you. That's right.
This is God.
Yes.
God is doing this. But we got to be patient with God, because God tests us to see if we're going to continue to believe. He will test us. Regardless
yes.
of what's going
yes,
on, do
yes,
you still
yes.
believe? Do you still believe? That's what you were talking about. Do you still believe? Will you still believe when you're going through? Can you still say, God, I'm going to praise you anyhow?
Yes.
That's
my God,
that's when
my
you're
God.
On the right
that's place. It.
Lord, I worship your holy name, God. And we're not focused on the circumstances. We're not focused on what's going on around. But we're focused on Jesus. We're focused on his word. That's when you're keeping your hands in the hands of the master, in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord.
And he will lead you and guide
Jesus.
You, ordering your steps, and you'll land right where he wants you to be. You're right where he
thank
wants you
Lord.
To be. You may not think so, but if you're following God, you better believe it and order your steps that he has put you right where he wants you to be. And all we
right
got to do is accept
be.
It. Accept not
it.
Where you might want to be, but he has you where he wants you to be. Because
he
ordered those
be.
Steps.
That's it.
It's not, you know, this is my prerogative. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. No. When you say you gave your life to God, it's not your prerogative to do what you want to do. God,
no.
do with me what you will. That's the mindset.
Yes, Lord.
Do what you will with my life, with my family, my finances. God, everything that affects my life. Do what you will. And that's when we'll grow in the Lord. That's when we'll see the increase. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he'll even increase. Apostle, he increased us in our gifts that he gave us. He increases that as well. As we use those talents and those gifts, he increases. You get better at what you do. My God, Jesus. I'm through, Apostle. I thank you,
Lord Jesus.
What an awesome and mighty word, and God's word is always awesome and mighty. God bless everyone on the line, and I pray everyone was blessed as I was blessed by the word of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Apostle. You add so much to it. You know, I was blessed by the word. I was blessed by the word. Because the word of God is true. You know, and what when God is giving this word, it's, I'm hearing the spirit of the word. The spirit of the word. And that's what's keeping me, the spirit of the word. You know, I don't complain. I don't complain because God has it all in his time, in his hands, and he releases it in his time. So I just praise him. I just praise him, you know. I just praise him, man. I was so blessed. I was so blessed in L.A. I would not lie to you. I was so blessed. I was just so blessed to see all of us on one accord. You know what I'm saying? It was just a time to see the people of God just serving God and seeking God. It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. You know,
amen.
It was a wonderful time. Yep.
Beautiful.
And next, when we come together again, it's going to be even better.
Yes,
it's
it will.
It's going to be even better. You know, it's going to be
yes,
better.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And you all will be on that altar in that church. Hallelujah.
Yep,
in God's
church. Glory to God. It's going to be better.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to get an agent on it. I've been doing it. I've been looking around as we write, but I need to get an agent on it. And I'm asking God, give me the right agent. God. Give me the right one to find the right place that you have in mind, that God have in mind. Not me. The place, the location, the building. God has already done that. He just have to. He's going to lead us to it. Amen.
That's
because
right.
It has to be
Hallelujah.
This year. It has to be this year. I'm believing in my spirit. Year. This year, and the sacrifices have to be made, and God will bless whatever I have to do, Apostle. Whatever I have to do, my bishop and me, and all of us. All of us, including Black Talk family, because we're in this together. And Apostle,
I know it's happening this year because I was bore witness in my spirit because the Lord said you're going back. You're going back before this year is out. Before
Amen.
The fall, the Lord
Hallelujah.
Said going back to L.A. The Lord said that. You know,
That's right.
And this time it's not going to be no compute. Ain't going to be no kind of confusion with how we where we stay and how we stop there. God has it all already planned. God
That's
has
right.
it already planned.
Not,
you know, already
right,
planned.
We're not even going there. We're not even going there.
Nope.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the
God,
Lord
see,
Jesus Christ.
He has it already
Thank
planned.
Amen. Yep. It's already done in the spirit.
Yep.
And it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. I felt it in my spirit. Hallelujah, and God is preparing.
Amen.
You know, I see what he's doing already to prepare us to move right in. Amen?
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Increase,
That's right.
There's increase in the finances. There's increase. One of our bills have dropped. Two now, you know. And it's perfect timing. It's just perfect timing. Amen? Hallelujah. There's more to work with now. And we're going to give it all to God.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
He working it out.
What we have to do for
he
God.
Working it
Amen.
Out. He working
it
out, Apostle. He working it out. Right.
Yes,
He's
he
working
is.
It out.
Glory, hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus, hallelujah.
He's
working,
working
it
out.
Out.
We just what got to do. We just got. This is the third time the Lord dropped me into that scripture there with Peter walking on the water. And
yes.
and God is saying something. When you look at it, you got
yes.
to really see it in the spirit.
That's
you know,
right. Hallelujah.
And you got to see it in the spirit. God is saying it's time
spirit.
To step out and walk. Step out. And don't look at the stuff that's trying to distract you. You understand? When you look at the bills, it's like the elements. The bills are like the elements. The wind, the water, you know, and all that stuff that will make you fear. God said, don't look at the bills. I got the bills. We figuring how we going to pay the light bill, how we going to pay the water bill, how we going to pay the oil bill or the gas bill, how we going to pay the telephone bill. God said, no, that's the water. When you look at that, you'll find yourself sinking. He said, no, look at me. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. He said, if you keep coming after me, he says, I will reward you. I'm a reward of those that diligently seeks me. So he said, you got to come to me. Don't look at these things. These things is to stop you from helping establish in the kingdom, because that's our job. Our job is to help establish the kingdom. And you know, so when we step out on the water, say, okay, God, this is by faith, because I'm trusting you, God. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. Lord, I'm looking for the building. No, we are the church, so we need to find a building to house the church. Oh, Jesus, you hear what I'm saying? To house the church. And when we house the church, the anointing is going to be so powerful in that building that folk are going to come from everywhere to come there. Because why? We're preaching the truth. We're not compromising. We're not trying to make people feel good. We're trying to get people to get them to a place where they get good. You know, they get good. They get good. We want to get them to a place where they get good. We don't want to make them feel good, you know. We don't want to make them feel good. See, the word got to cut you. When the word cuts you, the word will cut you and heal you, make you good. Make you good. Yeah. Cut you and heal you, make you good. That's what the word is. Yeah. People today, too many leaders today are trying to make the people feel good because they want a hallelujah praise. I don't need no hallelujah praise. It don't belong to me.
No.
It belongs to
him. Right.
It belongs to him. They want people to praise. Bishop, you're preaching good. Pastor, you're preaching good. No, it is not for me. It's for him.
Right.
It's for him. So we want the word to cut people. Cut them. When you tell the truth, folk going to be squirming in the seat because the word is cutting them. They're saying, ouch, oh, my God, the pastor preaching with me now. I'm cutting you, but at the same time, it's healing you. Because when it cuts you, it will drive you before the face of the Lord. It will drive you on your knees. When the word cuts you, it drives you on your knees so he can heal you. He said, daughter, come. I was waiting for you to get this. Son, come to me. I was waiting for you to get to that place where you know where you need to be healed. And God will heal you. Maybe it's fornication. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's always got to try to prove yourself to be the right one. You don't always got to be the right one. Let him be the right one. I don't have to prove a point to nobody. I'm trying to get this thing. I want to get this thing right before God because, you know, I'm coming to him for him to make it right. You know.
Okay.
And when you get to that place, you'll be all right. You'll be ready, a candidate for God to use you. When we become submissive, that bishop said, submit and commit. Submit and commit. Don't care what nobody said. Submit and commit to God. Worrying about the bishop, worrying about the apostle, worrying about the evangelist, the prophet. And these people don't have no keys to put you in heaven or hell. Man, stop worrying about your bishop, worrying about your apostle, and your, oh, my favorite chief apostle. Man, stop that foolishness. Honor the man of God, honor the woman of God, but you better just live for God. Living for the bishop and the apostle. As soon as you leave the bishop in the presence of the man of God, a woman of God, you act a fool. But you're not worrying about the God that's seeing you all the time. All the time. 24/7. Oh my God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. He does not lose a second of our life. Do you know that? God does not miss a second of my life or your life. He sees every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every night. He sees everything about us, every move that we make. He sees all people at the same time. Nobody escapes his vision. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we're worrying about the bishop that not even sure if he's going to make it in. Worrying about the apostle, the chief apostle, not even sure if they're going to make it in. And we're trying to please the pastor.
And as soon as we leave the pastor, we go somewhere and commit sin. Because they can't say, well, you know, the vine just can't see me, so I can do what I like. I can do what I like. But what about God? We don't ever think about God seeing us all the time. All the time.
Hallelujah.
You know why I say that? Because if we think about God seeing us all the time, some of the foolish things that we allow. You remember I talked about what Jesus says? It's not what comes out the mouth, what goes in the mouth that defiles the body, but what comes out of the heart.
Right.
Remember Jesus said that?
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
We don't think about that. We don't think about
that.
Hallelujah. He don't see me. He don't hear me. But he hearing you. He hearing me all the time. 24/7. He hearing us. He hearing us. When I
that's
talk
right.
about somebody, when we talk about somebody behind their back, guess who here? God here. God here. And he's charging us for that gossip. He called it tale-bearing. He called it tale-bearing. Man, I didn't know that until I saw it in the Bible. So my God, I used to like that stuff. That was part of me. That was part of my DNA. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Help me to get over this thing. I said, Lord, help me to get over that stuff.
Help me.
I had to ask God to do that. Because 14 days so holy, man. And God said, look, you got some stuff going on. Look at the churches in the book of Revelation. Every one of them, God had something on them. Every one of them. Walking around acting like they were all that. God had something on every one of them. Every one of them.
Hallelujah.
We got to get to a place to know that we have not arrived yet. Paul said so. When we get to that place that we realize that we have not arrived, we'll begin to cry out to God. The reason why we're not crying out to God is because we think we got it made. We think we got it made into heaven, and God saying, no, you're going to hide, you're going to scarcely make it in. You're scarcely making it. Because that's what he says. We're going to scarcely make it in. So we got to cry out to God daily. Cry out, God, help me in this area, Lord. Help me to examine my own heart, God. Help me to look at my spirit man, God.
Instead,
I'm so concerned about my flesh, God. I'm putting on a nice dress. I'm going to the hair salon and getting my hair fixed. I'm wearing the right kind of wig, Lord. I go to the nail salon and get my nails and toenails and fingernails fixed, my eyelashes and eyebrows and everything fixed, Lord. But my heart is filthy, Lord. Help me, Lord. You got to cry out to God. Because we're dressing up the outside to please the men and women. We belong to the apostles. We're in the apostles' circle. We're in the bishop's circle. We're in the evangelist circle. You know, we got to click for everything. And we're in this realm of with these men and women of God. So we feel we made it. And God is looking on the inside of our heart and says, son, daughter, you don't made it yet. You ain't got it together yet. This thing is filthy. All your righteousness, all of our righteousness has filthy rags. That's what the book of Isaiah says. So we got to go before God. I'm telling you something. This thing that he talked about here in Hosea, when unbelief joins hands with evil, man, are we on our way to hell and thinking that we're going to heaven because we're failing to repent. These people of Jerusalem, Hosea talked about, they thought they had it together, worshiping all type of idols and committing all types of whoredom, going against God, prostituting themselves, rejecting God, and going after other gods. When we don't find time to give God glory, and we think that we all that because we can't give him glory, what do you think you're doing? Man, I'm telling you. Whew. Oh, God, I thank you. The line is open for anyone that want to come on in and encourage the word, want to help extend the word of God, you can come on in. The line is open. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus.
The line is open. Hallelujah. God's line is open. Hallelujah. Get Hallelujah.
There's a lot of people on the line today, and new telephone numbers on there too. But I tell you all, if you don't praise it, if you don't give him glory, not give me glory, because I didn't need no glory. I got my glory when I wake up and he woke me up this morning. That was enough for me.
Enough for me.
He gave me glory this morning to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So I need no glory. But if we don't give him glory, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out in your place. And I'm not going to let no rock cry out for me. As long as I got breath in my body, I am going to give God glory.
Yes.
I'm not praising because the apostle said praise him. I'm going to praise him because I know he's worthy of praise. He's worthy. So I got to glorify his name.
That's
hallelujah.
True.
I got to glorify his name.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord.
The line is open.
Apostle Jefferson is still with her sister, Apostle, and I will be doing tomorrow and whatever needed. She's with her sister. You know, she's on the mission for you. Hallelujah. She's on the mission.
Amen.
Doing the will of the Father. Do what you have to do, man of God, to take care of God's business, his kingdom, and Bishop and I will be here. Hallelujah. We help each other as we help the Lord.
We thanking God for you all and blessing the name of the Lord Jesus. God is so worthy.
Yes,
all the words that you speak, all the words that we speak out of our mouth is not enough for what he has done for us.
Amen.
Sometimes we take it for granted, but he is worthy. Understand, he is worthy. Hallelujah. We don't give him enough, and we try to figure out what we should do for him. He's already done it all for us. Shouldn't be an if or, like Pastor says, it shouldn't be an if or but. You know, we got ifs and buts, so why and all the stuff we come up with not to praise.
That's right.
But I want to tell you, he deserved the glory. You didn't choose to be here this morning, but he kept you here. There's other folk that wanted to be here this morning. You know, the Lord dropped down my spirit so heavy this morning. It was so, oh, my God. He's dropping in my spirit so heavy this morning. I felt it when I started praying. You know, it took me about 8 chances to get on this Blog Talk Radio this morning. Every time I put in the correct code, they keep telling me it's the wrong code. And I say, you're a liar, devil. And I try again, it says the wrong code, and I put in the right code. I've been doing it for 11 years. Why am I going to put in the wrong code? But the devil didn't want that message to go forth today. And I begin to praise God, and it dropped in my spirit that so many people want to be here in the land of the living this morning. And they would have praised God just to be here, but they're not here. And we are here in the land of, well, all of us, we are here in the land of the living that can hear my voice. You got your eyes, you got your ears, you got your fingers, you got your toes. But to give God praise, somebody got to beg you to praise him. I'm not going to beg you to praise him. I'm going to praise him. And nobody want to praise him. Bishop, today I'm going to ask you to come on in and close out the line. Ask Bishop to come on in, Apostle, and close out the line. The line is filled with people. There's a lot of people on the line. Nobody want to praise God, so we are closed down. Because we already did what God said to do today. Hear me. So nobody want to praise him, we are closed down.
Amen.
Amen. He'll be right with you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, thank everyone came to the line today. Thank you for the wonderful message today, Pastor. Looking forward to tomorrow when Pastor Linda and I will be bringing the message. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, and we pray for all those who have all types of aches and ills. People who felt like I felt, you know, it's just indescribable. But thanks be to God that I'm feeling much better, and I'm going to feel better and better because I trust in the Lord. So may God keep his eyes on us. May his light shine on us each and every day while we're absent one from another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. I love you all. I love you all so much with the love of Christ, but remember, God loves you more. Jesus loves you more. And he moved it at Calvary. He gave his life so that we would have access to the tree of life. So have a blessed day. And even though you didn't respond to the message or respond to God's voice over this line today, remember, he loves you. And we are grateful that you were here today to hear the message. And if you didn't get it all, go back and listen when I post it on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook. And you can listen to it all over again for yourself. We thank God for you. We thank God for you and you and you and you. God bless you all. And I'll see you all tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. Brother Deacon, if you... Brother Deacon, if you got something you want to say, you can say it. I'd like to always give you a chance when you get a chance. But we already prayed out, but you can come on in now if you want to, if you got something before I turn off the line.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for you. Each one of you on the line. Thank God. Made it back safe. God, we're with you. We thank the Lord. Just thank God that y'all are covered by his blood. I just thank God for coming by to hear the word of God. It's a blessing to be glad that you got everything straightened out and got back on the call and thank the Lord to be here, to be here to give God a praise. But I just truly say, I'm thanking the Lord to be here. Thank the Lord to come on this church line. Regardless, I come praise him. I don't pay nobody but the Lord. And one thing about it, I don't want no rush crowd from here. I can go and praise on my own. Go ahead and praise him. Praise the Lord on my own. So you, because that's one thing. You know, one thing about it. Nobody in the way near but God, but Jesus done. God done it. God woke each one of us this morning. Some of them don't even know it. I'm really truly thankful when I come to this church line. It's always a privilege to come to this line, to this church line, and make our intended to do more work, because we got to stay on the wall for Jeremiah did. We got all got to, like you said, stay on the wall. That go each one of us. No matter how bad it comes against us, we gotta keep on doing the will of God. Because ain't nothing gonna do, no matter what, how bad it gets go my way, I'm gonna keep on praising God. I'm gonna keep on, no matter what they say about me, I'm gonna keep on living the word of Jesus. I'm gonna keep on doing what the word of God has told me to do in my life. I always say, no matter what you say about me, how you feel about me, I'm still gonna praise him. I'm still gonna praise the Lord. I'm still gonna praise the Lord. I'm still gonna keep on serving the Lord. Keep on praising. No matter how much you don't like me, I'm gonna keep on praising the Lord. I'm gonna keep on. How you dislike me, whatever you say, the song that I always say, that's all right. As long as I see King Jesus, that's all right. The more you talk, I'm going to get on my business knee and start praying. So that's what we all got to do. We got to get on knees and pray. We got to get to that place. We got to see. It's time to cry out to God. It's time to cry out to the Lord. It's time. It's time to cry out. It's time to be real with the word of God. But ain't no, you know, I always say, ain't no time to play with the word of God. You can't go around and play around with the word of God. You can't play. So he's not a thing that you, a toy you can play. I said this a couple times. He's not no plaything you can play. But I just truly said, I just truly thank God on the word, what I heard, no matter what, how bad it gets, no matter how much bad or something comes against me, I'm still going to go and pray to the Lord. That's why we have to repent. No matter what I've done to that person, no matter how to pray, whatever I said to that person, whatever I said, I had to go to that person. And if that person can't accept, if that apology can't accept my apology, well, you done done what I done done what you done. I done done what I had. You done done what you done called what to do if they can't accept it. So we just got to go. We just got to do what's right. Even me, I have to repent. That's why the book of Romans said we have to repent. It tells you all in the book of Romans and also, you know, it tells us that. Some of us feel like they want to get mad. Some of them get mad. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what they don't want. They don't want no apologies. But there's gonna be the time you don't want to accept a person's apology. You don't want them. So God wants he wants to love them. He wants to love. So we feel like we can't. Love nobody. We can't love like the way God want to love. Well, something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with it. But that's why I'm not gonna sit up. I'm not gonna let them steal my joy. You can't steal my joy. I'm not gonna let you do it. Now you might talk all you want to. You talk all that stuff you all you want. We can say one thing and it come out loud and about, then we sell another thing. See, that's why he hears what we say. He hears what we say. But we got to mean that what we say. So that we, if we ain't mean what we say, guess what? That's why we tell about the song that come out about what we say. We got to be really mean that what we say. I always hear the first thing all the time about tell a person about you love them. Tell them that you love them. But if you don't mean that you love them, don't tell them that you love them, then you don't mean what you said. So a lot of times we don't tell them you love them, then you don't mean what you said. So don't say you love them, then you don't mean what you said. So the person be mad at me right now, I probably be mad at me for can be mad at me for years, can be mad at me for a long time. If one thing about it, I'm not gonna let you see me to heaven. The hell you can put me in, and that's the truth. I'm not gonna let them do it. I'm not gonna let you do it. That's all there's to it. I'm not gonna let you, and I'm not gonna let you. So you're not gonna come and say all the foolish stuff to me to make me look bad. You're not gonna come in with that. You're not gonna come on run all over me with that. Because if you're not gonna tell me in the right way, don't tell me at all. If I ain't gonna be with me, if I can't tell you, then I really go ahead and shut my gun down. Go stay in the lane. Stay in my own lane. Stay in my lane. If I don't mean what I say, then go on with just shut my mouth. Go ahead and go and shut up. If I don't mean what I said, let me go on swear and just want to sit down and go and shut up. Don't shut my mouth. Now, I'm talking about me. It's just like put your mouth on somebody. That's when come on this call. That's one thing I don't do. I don't come to try to assault nobody, hurt nobody, hurt the brother and sister, because I don't believe in hurting this brother or sister. I don't believe to try to sit up, put my mouth on somebody. Because when you put your mouth on somebody, guess what? The same thing, it'll come right back on you, how you are. It'll come back on me. You know, that's the truth. That is the truth. One thing about it, we always God's people, because he loves us the same. He loves us the same. He's always the same. God is still the same. He won't never change. He's still the same, and that's why we have to come. We have to come to look up the name of you, no matter what, no matter how different I am, how different I am, no matter how much if a person know more than the next person might know, because they feel like they look down on somebody. So you don't never know what help you need. You don't never know when you might need that person's help. Now, I might need that person's help. Because I never know who person I may need. I never know. So we can put a person out with one. And then you might not never know how help you might need one day. So I just truly praise God on the word. Thank God made it safe that God is doing wonderful things. He's doing great things in your life. So I bless God on the word, what I heard. Thank God that it's an awesome word of God. May God continue to bless him on the word, what I heard.
Amen and amen. Amen, Brother Deacon. We thank God for you. So we're going to close out now. We just wanted you to come on and say something. Bishop James already closed out. Always pray for us. And we thank God for that. Now we'll see you all tomorrow. They will be bringing the message tomorrow. We pray that you come on and support them as you always do, because we're going to be out here doing some plumbing and heating tomorrow, trying to get this job up to where it's supposed to be so we can help my brothers and sisters in Africa and India and even right here in the United States of America. You know, because we help people here too, not just people say, well, you always talk about Africa and India. What about America? But we give a lot of help here in America. We do help a lot of people down south. You would not believe in America. We don't have a big 35,000 church building. But we have a mega ministry that's international. That's where our ministry is, international. We'll be reaching people all over the world. And we don't do this, as we always say, we don't do this for money. But we do this to win souls. So we thank God for you all that are part of what we are doing, what God is doing here on Blog Talk Radio. And we ask you to continue to pray for us. As we pray for you, have a blessed day, and we shall see you on tomorrow if you have time to come and fellowship with us. Either way, we're going to be here tomorrow. God bless you, and bye-bye.